Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. Welcome, welcome. It is a magical Monday here in the studio. I am feeling invigorated and currently recovering from chills of the magical synchronicity that just took place maybe, 45 seconds ago. Oh, it's going to be a good one today. This one is obviously lined up by the universe. Where do I begin? With a review, perhaps. Today's episode is actually spawned by a negative review I received on iTunes. And then with a interesting exclamation point to today's, what I want to share in response to it, I'll give you guys the quick synchronicity. So basically, there's this negative review I'll read in a moment. And I took the review and I was like, okay, I'm going to actually do today's episode all around it. And so I kind of figured out what I was going to talk about, laid out a few bullets of things that I want to say, found a video clip that kind of ties in. And then, I actually changed from one computer to the next to actually record, because I record on a separate computer than I normally work off of. And when I went to change, I was like, oh, I need to pull up that review to read it again. And lo and behold, just moments ago, a new review came in. And the new review is like the answer to the old review and everything I had laid out to talk about today. And I'm just like, wow, like magic is so real. We're all so creating, co-creating this experience together. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to the person who wrote this negative review. I'm so grateful to the person who, just added the exclamation point onto my response to it. And, just so, so cool. So let's start with the negative review. And, I hadn't looked at reviews in a while. I've been so busy with all the things. The last few months have definitely been transformative in my life, butterfly-esque in my life. And I haven't been reading reviews as much. So the other day I decided to look at the reviews and I jumped out, just a few days ago by Corey Lynn 1000, a one-star review, everyone. And this one says, Mystic Manor has ruined this podcast. I used to really love this podcast. It came to me at a time where reminding myself of my core beliefs and reconnecting to the universe became very important. Brandon's episodes made a true impact on the quality of my day. I felt inspired to live my higher purpose on a daily purpose. How amazing. Unfortunately, this podcast has changed. Brandon, such a minuscule percentage of your listeners are interested in going to the Mystic Manor. Please stop pushing it. It's off-putting and actually comes off desperate. The podcast episodes are taken over by talking about your other projects. If this podcaster is no longer as important to you, please hire someone else to run it. I miss it and would love to not have to skip the first 10 and last 10 minutes of your episodes. Okay, so tell me how you really feel, Corey Lynn. So I think at the top of the episode, there's about a 2.5 to 3 minute thing about the Mystic Manor. And then, of course, I mention it throughout sometimes. It is a big part of my life, and it has been a big, big, big transition for me. Stretching my wings, right? Stretching to embody more and to become more. And I get it. I understand. Like, you know, this person is used to how things were, and they're, you know, they don't like that there's something new that's kind of disrupted what they were comfortable with and familiar with. And my energy has been divided more than it ever has since starting the show in the last, four plus years of running it. So from that perspective, I totally get it. And I understand why there's some frustration there. However, I want to address the best way to deal with these sorts of things, constructive criticism versus, a one-star review and sort of a scathing, somewhat name-calling. I certainly don't feel desperate. I feel excited and I like to share. I'm not in a desperate state, and it does take an awful lot to pull off what it is I'm working on pulling off here. So, So I think the best thing, where do I begin with this and all the great growth that I feel like can happen for me, for Corey Lynn, if they happen to listen. I don't know if they've stopped listening altogether or not, but the rest of us are here to continue to grow together, right? And what's so funny is the title of this one that just came in moments before, I'd already bulleted out everything I'm going to talk about, came in from Emily Wiseman, and it's titled Synchronicity. And she said, for the first time, I intuitively, and by the way, this is the next review, in case you didn't figure that out. For the first time, I intuitively chose a number before listening to one of your podcasts. Normally, I would listen to the newest one or find one with a title that stood out. On this day, however, I thought of the number 99 and went very far back into your episodes to find it. At first, I didn't put together why this episode had been chosen for me. I was on my way to work, and it wasn't until halfway in I heard something that I'd consider relative to my current situation. It was the advice, respond, don't react. The day prior, I had experienced two situations that I normally would have reacted negatively to, but instead chose the higher road, keeping love in mind. My choices benefited me and created a better outcome in the end. I thought to myself, okay, that is something I needed to hear, as I tend to lead with my negative emotions. Once I got to work, I was pulled into a meeting with the staff where, at the end, my boss shared a quote. The quote was, respond, don't react. I'm very new to this way of thinking, and your podcasts have been life-changing. My husband and I listen daily, which has also helped us in our own relationship. We were both in disbelief when I told him about the synchronistic morning. Thank you for sharing your truths and working so hard to provide us with new insights to the world around us. P.S. I find it to be very meaningful that I'm new to your podcast, and I keep seeing butterflies everywhere I go. I like to believe this is a transformative symbol and that you have helped me start this amazing transformation in my life. Thank you so, 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 so much. All right. So that one came in, respond, don't react. And that's really what I bulleted out to talk about today. This idea of not, because what is Corey Lynn done here? Corey Lynn has reacted, right? In a way that's, technically, it would be damaging when you put a one-star review on iTunes. You're basically dissuading iTunes from showing the podcast to anyone else. You know, this person is named here And this isn't to like beat them up or anything like that, just rather to really analyze the situation and how taking a constructive approach could be so much more like Emily talked about. You know, it can, instead of leading with negative emotions, how you actually can cause a much better outcome. You might actually cause some change, like, oh, you know, Corey Lynn wanted some change in the show or doesn't like the change. Sharing in a way that's helpful instead of, you know, sort of, you sound desperate, I'm giving you one star so less people will find the show. Even though you've said it literally made this huge impact in your life, you're basically working now to prevent other people from finding it. Even if you don't like the new episodes or any ones where I've talked about, you know, Mystic Manor, there's another, you know, I don't know, 850 where the Mystic Manor didn't even exist. So one star, what is it doing? It's not really a constructive way to deal with it. You could have dealt with me the same way I dealt with a challenge this morning. I had a long conversation with Sydney, who you guys have heard on the show, who helps me to run the retreats. And of course, living and working closely with anyone, there's always frictions that come up. And I've had some frictions. We've had some frictions, some seeing things differently, her not feeling felt or seen or appreciated, me not feeling like I'm, you know, everything is happening the way I would like it. And it'd be so easy for me to sort of throw tomatoes at her, right? And be like, this is crappy. You know, I don't like this. I don't like that. Here's what you've done that's wrong. Here's why it should be different. And instead, we sat down and we had a very honest, constructive conversation. Hey, here's what I don't like. Here's what I think could be better. Here's how it's making me feel, right? Here's how I'm feeling. And, you know, imagine Corey Lynn, if you had come back to me and said, hey, you know what, all the talk of the Mystic Manor, here's how it's making me feel, right? Or nothing can make you feel anyway, but here's how I am feeling in response to it. And I just want to shine a light that, you know, I had someone else text me this morning in a very nice way saying, oh, you know, I do miss the flow of the old daily shows. And like I said, I get that. It's like, there's definitely been change. Erica being a regular, that's change. And here's the thing, is a lot of time our resistance to change is sort of the root of our problem in life, right? Buddha said, change is never painful. Only the resistance to change is painful. So if we can understand that change is guaranteed, anything that you love the way it flows and works and operates, and you are overly attached to it, maybe this whole thing, maybe actually, Corey Lynn, the Mystic Manor happens so that you can deal with this attachment to how things were and how to approach things in a more, understanding the power of constructive criticism. When you go out of your way to do damage and approach it in a way, if I'd went to Sydney this morning and said, you know, just kind of berated her and tore her apart and tore her down, it had been a very different outcome. Instead, I approached it from a very constructive approach and was honest about, you know, where I was having negative emotions and feelings about it. I responded instead of reacting. And this is someone who has reacted a ton. So I'm not here to point a finger at anyone, but I'm learning, I've learned, and I'm getting better at responding to situations that I'm not loving, right? And that's what I would challenge Corey Lynn to do, is to learn to respond. All of us learn to respond and understand the power of constructive criticism. Instead of ever sort of hiding behind a keyboard and throwing arrows, a lot of that goes on the internet, or talking behind people's back, right? We've all done that, right? You get in a dynamic. The Mystic Manor would be a great place for that to happen. There's several people that are here all the time. One where I just mentioned I was having some level of challenge with, I could sort of like talk crap about them, or, you know, negatively, like sort of create negative dissonance and energy behind their back, and then to their face, just kind of like be cut off and close my energy and, you know, kind of tell them without saying anything that I'm not happy, right? Because we've all done that sort of thing. Instead of that, sitting down and being really constructive, hey, I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling some resentment towards this. I'm not liking this. I'm, you know, and out of that blossoms so much opportunity for growth for all of us, right? Let's not exaggerate and exasperate problems. Oh, you know, I've done a lot of that too. Exaggerating my point to really make it dramatic. Oh, there's, you know, I have to fast forward 10 minutes in the beginning and 10 on the end. It's like, meanwhile, there's like a 2.5 to 3 minute clip total, right? And then of course, you know, episodes like Fridays where we're talking to Mystic Manor guests. Yeah, I'm talking about it. Yeah, I'm excited about it. What if, Corey Lynn, this me stretching to do this, and it has been an absolute stretch, it's going to help millions the same way it helped you. Right now, we're helping thousands a day, right? What if it's helping millions, right? Is it good or bad that it's happening? Does it deserve a 1-star review or a 10, right? If that's what it's actually leading to. So, you know, understanding if the fact that this has obviously triggered you, that's where your treasure is. You know, if it helps millions, perhaps it's doing the right thing. Yeah, change is can be challenging sometimes. It hasn't at times. I've been, you know, done the podcast where my energy is more scattered than it normally would be because I'm juggling so many things. What if you saw that and said, how can I help? How could I actually assist to make it so that Brandon is empowered more to give of himself 5 days a week in the way that he has, instead of this like, oh, it was so good for me what you would give all the time, and now it's not quite the same, and screw you, 1-star, you know, that whole thing. It's like, it's a very entitled taking sort of energy. And once again, I'm not trying to like judge or be right and make you wrong. I'm trying to really observe what's happening and to understand that that doesn't really lead to all the things that you want. It doesn't lead to more abundance and growth. You know, if you offered gratitude for what was instead of offering 1-star and a scathing review and saying, and by the way, with you know, respect and tact, I'd like to say, you know, this is something that I've noticed that's different about it. And it feels like there's not as much being offered to me. And, you know, you may want to address that. And, you know, that sort of thing is really helpful and constructive. You know, it's like, you know, understanding that change is going to happen. Like Darwin said, it's not the strongest or most intelligent that survive. It's the most adaptable to change. So when we get too caught up in how it's been and it needs to be that way, you're inevitably going to suffer, right? Inevitably going to suffer. Like Teddy Roosevelt, think of this, it used to be on my fridge at home, and I think I read it a long time ago. He talked about criticizing people, how pointless it really is. You know, he said, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And that's the perspective I would challenge you to take. You know, bring some kindness, bring some, you know, what, how constructive can you be in helping to resolve the situation? What is the, you know, there are no problems, only solutions approach. And, you know, like a lot of that, like I said, it comes to resisting change, and really resisting change is resisting life. And I found a great short clip by Sadhguru talking about this as well. Let's take a listen to it. It's called Resisting Change is Resisting Life, and it's on the Sadhguru YouTube page.
Why is change in life so difficult? When I was younger, I was excited by change. I looked forward to it. I was happy when it happened. As I'm growing older, I try to avoid it as much as possible. I'm not able to cope when it happens.
It all depends who is initiating the change.
Maybe. But is there something like an appropriate response to change?
One reason why change is becoming difficult as you get older is you have found cocoons of comfort. There are many comfort zones you created. Any disturbance of that, you're disturbed now. When you were young, you were not looking for comfort, you were looking for life. Now you're not looking for life, you're looking for comfort, safety. See, when you were 16, 18, you had wild dreams as to what you want to do with your life. By the time you became 25, you cut down all the frills and thought, this is all not practical, I am becoming practical now. All that you happened is you were becoming a coward. But you said, I am becoming practical, and cut down many things and said, if I get a job, if I earn my living, this is okay. By the time you're 35, you're thinking, if I don't get into any trouble, that's enough. You're not looking forward to anything great happening. If I don't get into trouble, that's enough. But that's when you start getting into trouble. So, you're not looking at life with zest. You're looking at life as safety. The more security-oriented you are, the more disturbed you will be with every change that happens in your life. The essence of physical existence is change, isn't it? Isn't it so? Everything is changing. Is there anything that's not changing? Everything in the existence is changing, isn't it? The physical existence is constantly changing. The very essence of physical reality is change. Nothing is constant. Even the so-called static states are dynamic in nature. Everything is changing. So if you resist change, you are resisting life. If you want an unchanging life, there's one beautiful place where nothing changes, that's your grave. Either you must go to your grave or you must get enlightened if you don't want change. Then somewhere inside everything is same. But otherwise, as long as you're a part of the physical process of the existence, everything is changed. There is nothing that is not changing. See, this moment you're inhaling, next moment you're exhaling, it's change, isn't it? If you don't want change, you stop it. So when you resist change, you must understand you're resisting the very process of life, not just your life, you're resisting the very fundamental process of life. Invariably, you will invite all kinds of suffering. If you are living and you want to be dead, you will ask for trouble, isn't it? You must be living. When you are living, you must live totally. If you want to die, you must do that efficiently. This is inefficient ways of killing yourself, really. Unhappiness and depression are inefficient ways of killing yourself, isn't it so? At least be efficient. I can give you 10 different ways to die. Anyway, Hussein Sagar is there. Is it still water in it? Okay. So, you need to understand this. Once you resist change, you're resisting the whole process of life and you will create unnecessary suffering. So once you resist change, depression is a natural process. Frustration, when change happens, frustration, depression. Frustration and depression are on a certain day, the devil decided to retire. Because he is retiring, he decided to put all the tools of his trade for a garage sale. So he opened up discount sale. All the devil's tools. There's a huge rush. There are all kinds of things, anger, hatred, jealousy, this one, that one, everything on the table. All of you people went and bought it up in no time. Everything was sold out in the first hour, all his tools. The whole humanity has bought it, isn't it? But he had still one more bag and what's your name? Lena. Lena went and asked the devil, what's in that bag? Isn't that for sale? He said, no, no, these are the prize tools. Just as souvenirs, I want to keep them because they have worked best to do my job. Lena said, no, I want it, please. Won't you sell that? Devil said, no, 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 these two tools that I have in this bag, they have worked so wonderfully well in my whole career that I would like to keep them as my souvenirs. Once Lena said, many other people joined behind her and please put it on sale, put it on sale, put it on sale. Then the devil pulled out and said, okay, if you're giving a good price, let me put it on sale. Then it pulled out frustration and depression and put it on table. These two are the best of the devil's tools. If you want to destroy your life, frustration, you start with frustration, develop into depression. You're there. There's nothing worse than that. You'll work against yourself. And the moment you resist change, frustration is natural. Once frustration comes, it'll naturally evolve into depression. So, you put it on sale.
Talked about, you know, when you're young, you're looking for life. When you're new, you're looking for comfort. I mean, when you're older, you start looking for comfort. And that makes me think a lot of wealthy people I've known. They get to the point where it's like all about conserving money. And, you know, it's like, I want to make it. Okay, now I just want to conserve. I don't know risk. No, how do I play it safe? And if I don't get into trouble, that's enough. And Sadhguru said, but that's when you get in trouble. You aren't looking at life with zest. You're looking at it as safety. And that's really an illusion. You know, the more security centered you are, the more disturbed you'll be, he said. And you guys have heard me often say that Osho's quote, you know, security is death. Not knowing is where all the action is, where all the magic can happen. And that's true. I mean, the only thing in life guaranteed is change. So if you're resisting change, you're basically resisting life. Your pain is equivalent to your resistance to change. I love how I said, you know, unhappiness and depression are inefficient ways of killing ourselves. It's the outcome of that resistance. And that's what you heard with that review is frustration, maybe some depression. And there's always a constructive way to approach it and deal with it. And what's going to help, you know, before something and against nothing, right? And that's really, I've also talked about, you know, when Mother Teresa was asked to march against the war in Vietnam, she said, I'll never do that, but have a march for peace and I'll be there. Because she understood being against something, you know, is what you resist persists. What you accept, you move through. How do I be a part of the solution? And that's really the question here. And, you know, it was just so timely and grateful to have that second review come in right then, and to have the opportunity to respond, not react, right, to this, because it's hurtful to see something like that. And I understand where that hurt's coming from. I understand there's been a lot of change. I understand I've talked about it a lot. I've talked about it a lot because it's important to me. And this show is all about me sharing very vulnerably and transparently my life. And my aim is to include as many of you as possible. And it's okay if that person doesn't want to be included in that. There are others that do. And at least it's fun to hear about, hopefully, most of the time. I've got a lot of feedback from people on the Friday show, you know, with the Friday shows with the guest here. They've really enjoyed hearing about their experiences. So, you know, obviously we have some more growth to work on together. And I know I'm going to continue to work diligently on myself and really, the episodes that I'm here, it's luckily things are really starting to like even out a little bit. It was such a, you know, transformative, powerful, intense few months for me, you know, last 4 months or so, and it's starting to get a little more even keel. And so I feel like that will be felt a little bit more in the podcast too. So have no fear. I am here and I am just forever grateful to each and every one of you. Corey Lynn, for your review and giving me the opportunity to explore this, you know, the power of constructive criticism, and Emily for the, you know, the timely double layered synchronicity. Don't you love it? How synchronicity, you know, the post is titled synchronicity and there, but wait, there's more synchronicity because it came in moments before I started talking about you responding and not reacting. So yeah, I think it's obviously something we're all working on together. And of course I had just had that experience today, hours before that, responding to some challenges in my own life and not reacting. reacting. And out of that, by the way, what I don't think I added is all this good stuff opened up. There's all these, this new idea of how to solve the problem opened up. And now all of a sudden, Sydney feels 10 times lighter. I feel 10 times lighter. We're back in alignment because the way that we approached it was so healthy, both of us. And so I am... You know, I invite each and every one of you out there, whenever something is really triggering you and upsetting you, don't go and rip it apart. Instead, do approach it from a perspective of, how can I contribute to making this better? How can I clear the air, clear the energy? How can I be a part of the solution, not someone else that is, throwing eggs, throwing arrows at the man in the arena, right? And that's how you get in the arena. That's what the people playing at the highest level are doing. They're playing in that way. And you are ready to do that. Every one of you listening, I am ready to do that. Or you wouldn't be tuned into this. You wouldn't be tuned into this message. And for that, I applaud you, because to get here is quite the journey. To put down our battle axe and our righteousness and here's why I'm right and here's why they're wrong. All of that, that's just tired. It's outdated and it's ready. We're ready. We're ready to be more. Man, that's probably been my biggest thing holding me back in my own journey. And I feel so grateful to be finally really integrating and getting it and responding and not reacting. And it doesn't mean I won't ever react again and lash out in a way. My triggers are, something there. I thought I'd clarified. A lot of times we think we've worked through something and then there's deeper levels of it that still need to be integrated and processed. And all of a sudden you react again in a negative way. And then it's not about beating yourself up for that. It's saying, oh, okay, I fell off the wagon, but every moment's another chance to turn it all around. And so the last thing I want anyone to do is to walk away from this. Corey Lynn, especially if they hear it, don't feel bad. Like, grow, learn. How can you be more constructive? How can you be more helpful and supportive and to see from the other person's perspective? You know, what if that what you viewed as desperation was necessary for me to get something off the ground in order to help millions the same way it helped you? And is it then bad? I don't think so. And could it be refined? Could my presentation of it be better and refined? Could you have constructive criticism that actually helps me? You probably could, right? And I'd love to hear it. And it's definitely going to be well received when it's constructive. So I thank you for this lesson and opportunity, each and every one of you. I do have a song to leave you with today. This is Volo, and the song is Live Free. And that's truly, that's funny because I just tied that one together now. My conversation with Sydney this morning, at the end of it, she goes, that's really, I just want to be free from all this baggage. You know, I just want to be free. And our conversation, by having this very honest, saying things that aren't necessarily easy to hear to each other, but with tact and love and coming from a heart-centered place, it frees one another, right? Instead of condemning each other. The days of condemning are tired and old, and I am not here to condemn any of you. I'm here to live free along with you, and Volo's helping us do it with this song. Hope you enjoy. Till next time, live free, journey well. Love you all so, so much.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.